Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be preaching this evening from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 2, and I read to you again just one verse. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us this evening, fill us with your Holy Spirit and so give us the great joy of the good news of the birth of our Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was no room for them in the inn. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you have nowhere to stay. Nowhere to lay your head. When I was young and silly, or should I say younger and sillier, I ended up in that situation a few times when backpacking and whatnot. I didn't plan overly well. I ended up with no clear idea of where I was going to stay, where I was going to lay my head. It all worked out okay. But I realized that up until that point in my life, I had completely taken for granted the basic fact that I had a home, that I had a bed each night, that I had a safe place to be. Perhaps you've been in some situation like that. A holiday, which has gone horribly wrong, or being a teenager, having a fight with mum and dad and storming out of the house and then realizing that actually your options are pretty limited. You don't know where you're going to stay. Maybe there are some here tonight who have experienced true homelessness, life on the street. Whether your experience of this sort of thing is small and trivial like mine, or at the more serious end of the spectrum, we all know that it's not a nice thought and feeling, is it? It can be, in fact, quite frightening to have nowhere to lay your head. Imagine being in that position and being pregnant, or having a wife who is pregnant. Well, that's the situation we encounter, of course, on the very first Christmas. We all know that little detail that's included in the Christmas account, don't we? There was no place for them in the inn. No place for them. Now, why mention that? Is it just a historical detail? Well, it is that, to be sure. It explains how Bethlehem was busy with the census. It explains why they ended up in a stable and Jesus was born in the manger. But could it be more than that as well? There was no place for them in the inn. I want you to consider this evening that it is, in fact, deeper than just the historical interest. That this little passing comment actually makes a profound statement about the whole life and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And strangely enough, this is actually part of the good news of Christmas, because there being no place for him happened so that there would always be a place of welcome for you. Consider the irony that there is no place for Jesus. As we celebrate this most holy night and hear again the wonderful, joyful account of Christmas, what are we in fact celebrating? Well, we celebrate the mysterious and glorious truth that in the Christ child, in this baby Jesus, the Almighty God who created the universe has come down to us as one of us, to bring salvation for us. That's why the angel calls it good news, which will bring great joy to all the people, because a Savior is born. That's the joy of Christmas. And I hope and pray that this heavenly angelic joy fills your hearts once again this Christmas. But if that's all true, just notice the irony here. that for this heavenly guest, who deserves nothing but the most magnificent welcome and hospitality, there was no place for them in the inn. Just think about how we normally welcome important guests. I used to live in Brisbane. I remember when I was there, they hosted a great world summit where many leaders came to town, and the welcome they extended was incredible. I remember, in fact, that Barack Obama came that year, if I'm not mistaken. And let me tell you, they just didn't make sure there was a room for him. They didn't even just make sure there was a whole hotel for him. They cleared out half the CBD for him. Because for great and important visitors, we extend and arrange for significant welcomes and acts of hospitality. And yet when the Almighty God comes among us to be the Savior of the human race, there was no place for him in the inn. There is no greater irony than this. But it wasn't just at his birth. This little statement sets a pattern for the life of Jesus. Very soon after Mary and Joseph left Bethlehem to go back home, they have to flee to Egypt to escape the jealous King Herod. Later, as Jesus sets out on his public ministry, he never really had a home. Once, when a man asked to follow him, he responded, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "has nowhere to lay his head." As Jesus taught and healed and worked miracles, he increasingly faced hostility and lack of welcome, even rejection. And from who? From his very own people, the people of his homeland. And it's that hostility that ultimately developed into plots against his life, so that he faced the ultimate rejection of all, being sentenced to death by crucifixion. And even then in his death, the book of Hebrews makes the point of telling us, even then, this didn't happen in the city, but outside the gate. There was no room for him even in his death. From beginning to end, Jesus is a man on the outside. There's no place of welcome for him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Perhaps this year you too have experienced similar things in your life. Perhaps you've had a sense of being unwelcome in one way or another, a sense of rejection. Perhaps, like Joseph, you've had a door or two slammed in your face this year. It happens for different reasons, doesn't it? Sometimes the circumstances of life or the things that people do to us, sometimes because of the mistakes, the shortcomings, and the sins of our lives. At a very deep level, we can say that we all experience ostracism and rejection because it goes right back to our original rebellion against God. We human beings, in our pride, reached out to grasp what God had not given us, and so there was no place for us in paradise. And that's why this irony of there being no place in the inn for the Holy Family is in fact at the heart of the good news of great joy. Jesus was willing to be the one without a home, so that there would always be room for you in the Father's home. Jesus had the door of the inn closed to him so that the door of heaven would be open to you. Jesus was willing to be the one rejected so that you could be accepted by the Father in heaven. Imagine for a moment that there was another big world summit, not in Brisbane, but in Adelaide. A little bit of a stretch, perhaps, but imagine with me. And like I described earlier, the city is closed down and the best hotel in town is reserved for this great world leader. And then just imagine that that great world leader goes out into the parklands, finds a person who is sick and dirty, and offers to swap places. He would sleep out in the cold so that this person could be brought into the warmth. He would bear the suffering of the elements so that this person could be safe and at peace. That gives you just the tiniest glimmer of what your Lord Jesus has done for you in coming to earth as a human being and finding no place for him in the inn. That's why his birth is good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So then, that leaves us with two final questions to consider. The first is this. In his coming into the world and undergoing suffering and death for us before his resurrection, the Lord has made for you a place in his heavenly home. So when the knock comes on the door of your heart, is there a place for Jesus? He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Do we have a place for him in our homes, in our lives, in our thinking, in our hearts? A place for Jesus, or are we moving too fast, too preoccupied? Are we tempted to turn him away like the innkeeper? A second question is this: when the poor come knocking on our door, literally or in other ways, do we have room for them? Because the truth that Jesus lived among us as one with nowhere to lay his head, as one who was a refugee, who was poor, cannot but change our attitude in how we act towards others in this world, in those similar situations. The mysterious thing in the Bible is that those two sorts of questions are brought together. As Jesus says, "As you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." I hope and pray that as you leave this place tonight, you all have a safe place to stay and somewhere to lay your head. We should give thanks to God for that. But even more this night, we give thanks to God for the gift of his Son, for whom there was no place in the inn. Because there being no room for him means there is always room with him for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.